Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. Yes, TGIF. And yes, thank goodness the weekend is here. It is homecoming, and who is calling me? Whoever you are that's calling me, I just went on the air. Goodbye. It's like, I forgot to silence my phone before I came in. Traffic, man, there are a lot of people in town for homecoming. Traffic is unbelievable. Drew and I made it. I mean, we made it. We've been here about 30 seconds, Dan. I rode by. I started from my house in one direction on University. Traffic was backed up. I turned and went the other way, saw Dan's car and thought, uh-oh, he'd be late. You must have been about to get in your car when I rode by your place, because it is unbelievable, the traffic. The folks that are in town, it's great to have this many people in town for the FCS matchup against Samford. I think it's going to be a great crowd tomorrow for the game. Hopefully the weather holds up.
Yeah, I think there's an energy around town. I mean, the weather's not great right now, you know, because of the – I don't know, a little bit of rain. I don't know if you caught some of that.
I got a couple of sprinkles on the way over, and that's what I had at the house.
There might be the threat of that.
Go ahead and rain now. That's fine. Go ahead and rain now. Get it out of the way here in the next hour or so, because high school football you've got going on all over the place.
I don't know if it's just going to get it over with tonight.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If it's going to do it, go ahead and do it now. Or do it tomorrow early.
It might threaten between now and kickoff, but we never get a crazy downpour or anything. I think it might just be something because it sounds
we never get a crazy downpour. What was that a couple of days ago?
No, I mean between now and kickoff, it could just be sort of threatening.
You mean kickoff tomorrow night?
Yes, threatening tomorrow. Oh, okay.
Thought you meant, it never rains hard in the afternoon.
No.
Oh man, we've seen some here.
What I'm saying is that I think the weather we have right now may linger.
It may. Temperature's not really high, but a decent chance of rain.
That's the upside, though, is that you're not going to, and even in the second half of September, right, you can get some really hot, oppressive days, and you're probably not going to have that tomorrow if you're tailgating. And like you said, Bill, a lot of folks sound like they're in town tailgating, taking in the energy. I know a lot of the Greek organizations are doing Parents Weekend this weekend, plus you have just homecoming in general with a lot of folks coming back for the home game. So, yeah, I think it'll be a fun atmosphere around Auburn. Not expecting... It's a dance you have to do with the FCS opponent, right? Because it's I don't want to disrespect.
No, I mean, Auburn Samford has struggled with some FCS schools. And as you pointed out, I don't think on the air yesterday when we were talking, it's Dan Mullen's last game at Florida.
His last win
at Florida was a 72-50 win.
It was 70-52. Wasn't it 18? I thought it was just eight.
Maybe it was 70-50. It was ridiculous. There were 120 something points scored, and Samford scored over 50 of them. And Michael Hyers, their quarterback that's coming in tomorrow, he can sling it. I mean, he threw for 3,600 yards last year, 36 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions.
He's an Alabama high school product, right? Isn't he?
Out of Briarwood Christian.
Yeah, Briarwood Christian kid. So I mean,
same high school, Barrett Trotter, right?
I believe that is correct. Former Auburn quarterback Barrett Trotter.
And he's already thrown 6 touchdowns and no interceptions in 2 games this year.
Yeah, had a big season last year for Samford. Now Samford's defense struggled.
They had a crazy 6-hour lightning delay last week, and around that, yes, the defense really struggled. The score didn't indicate how badly their defense played. They gave up 280 plus yards rushing, 260 plus yards passing last week.
Yeah, ugly looking performance against the Catamounts, Western Carolina. So and like you said, extenuating circumstances too with that with that lightning delay. But you would expect Auburn to be able to handle the Samford defense tomorrow with
Littleton. They had better.
I mean, that's not, you know, again, not to, you know, not to disrespect the other team, you know, the team on the other side there, but it seems like this is a situation where Auburn has a chance to work out some kinks before they get into conference play. And yeah, I think it's an interesting question of, do you hold guys out? Do you emphasize certain guys and try to get them going a week before A&M? Do you look to the guys that have been the ones who have touched the ball the most in the first two games, or do you start trying to get other guys the ball in a game like Samford? I think that's one of the more interesting questions about tomorrow. How are they going to approach this?
I would think that tomorrow may be the last chance for some guys to show that they deserve to play before they jump into SEC play. So I think tomorrow is that final audition.
Are you thinking, because I'm thinking the guys who would fit that description the most would be the transfer receivers.
Yeah, I'm thinking receivers. I'm thinking a lot of the receiving core. It's like, okay, let's target them. And I'm with both Brian and Jason and Justin. All three of them have said, let's air it out. Let's see it tomorrow. I've heard some people going, no, Auburn just needs to line up and run the ball. What's that gonna show you? Will you have any confidence that you can do anything but run the ball when you go to Texas A&M? You think you're just going to line up and run the ball at Texas A&M?
You want Thorne to get as comfortable as possible.
Absolutely, and as confident and be building chemistry with receivers.
Now, some of that has to do with getting the run game going, but I think a lot of it, you know, even getting Thorne going on the ground, right? But I think also it gets, you know, yeah, it's figuring out who can emerge as the most reliable targets at wide receiver aside from Jay Fair and Javarius Johnson. I'm struck by Hugh Freeze on Monday saying we got to get 5 and 6 more touches, right? It's like, I mean, because and maybe they need to get 5 and 6 more touches and production needs to increase.
They do. I mean, because how many touches did they have last week? 3 or 4?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they, you know,
you got to get more than that.
Was it Jason, I think, who posited maybe 10 should be the number?
10 between the two of them?
Yeah, between VAR and Jay Fair. You know, they should probably be catching.
That means you need to throw more than 14 passes, too.
Yeah.
You need to have the ball more. You know, you need to sustain drives. Need to get more first downs.
I suppose either of them could be reverse options, too, if you wanted to get them a touch or two running the football. But, no, I would agree. And then there's everyone else. And I'd say especially the guys who have been on the field the first 2 weeks, because of the receivers who, whether it's Mardner or Burton or Coy Moore or Malcolm Johnson, who's played a little bit more than those other three, but you know, guys like that, they might be the option that Auburn turns to if they don't like what they're seeing out of the names I would name. Yeah, Shane Hooks
and Jair Shorter and
Camden Brown.
Camden's just sort of, he's sort of been coming on because he wasn't out there a lot early, so. I don't know. There's so many different possibilities, and I think Auburn would, you know, they need to find out who they'll be accounting on when they get into SEC play.
Every receiver other than Fair and Johnson have kind of a short leash tomorrow.
Like, yeah, you would think they've got question marks by their name.
Yeah, and if they get on the field, you know, you make a play, you might be able to make a case that you should be out there more. You get out there and you make a mistake, maybe we're not going to see it that much the next couple of weeks. I mean, it's those kind of, I'd say the stakes are where they are for those receivers.
Yep. So we'd love your thoughts on that. How about the news from Tuscaloosa? Alabama switching starting quarterbacks. Yeah. Tyson Buckner going to get the start for Alabama tomorrow. And, you know, it's
maybe
funny.
Milroe had a worse game than even we thought, you know, after watching it live versus, you know, if you go back and, because we don't
right.
know.
Right, I don't know exactly what was called on every play.
We don't know what kind of decisions he was supposed to be making.
I still don't think that the offense that looked like the offense they were trying to run is not the offense that's best suited for him. But if that's Tommy Reese's offense, then yeah, Buckner's probably better suited for it. And this is an opportunity for them. It's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of a challenge because they're on the road. It's South Florida, who has been bad for the last few years, but an opportunity just to see how he reacts as a starter on the road before they have another big game against Ole Miss next week.
They've got Ole Miss and Tuscaloosa, and they're going to need offense, right? I mean, you'd feel confident that Ole Miss is going to be able.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is going to be able to move the football and score, and Alabama's going to need to keep up with them. And yeah, getting the quarterback situation figured out there suddenly becomes a huge issue. And yeah, I was surprised with the news that I thought Milroe would get a chance to play out of it, you know, play his way out of it, and keep his job. Maybe practice didn't go well, or getting back to Saturday, like maybe his game was worse than we initially thought it was based on watching it live and seeing them, like maybe going back and seeing, oh, this is the read he should have made, or this is what he should have done on each play. Maybe he was maybe his batting average is a little bit lower than we thought. In the fourth quarter, it did feel like there were multiple times where he was looking to go deep and make a big play when it seemed like he had guys open underneath.
Yeah. Now that's more Tommy Rees and what the offense we've seen from Tommy Rees the last couple of years at Notre Dame is a lot of tight end stuff, a lot of shorter things, and then, sure, an occasional deep shot. But, yeah, Milroe's game is his legs and the deep pass.
Yeah, bring the defense in, make him defend the run and all its facets, and then hit him over the top. It did seem maybe Buckner, I don't know, maybe, I mean, I would think that you adjust, if you're Tommy Rees, you adjust what your offense is with Jaden Milroe in the game at quarterback, but having, you know, instead that they're going to go with they're going to go with Buckner, and we'll see if that's a spark this offense needs a week before they play Ole Miss at home.
Yeah, so I mean that game's more interesting now than it would have been had they not made that change.
Like you said, seems like they should still be able to handle
South Florida. Yeah, they should. It's just how will they look offensively with the new quarterback?
Yeah, and I guess if you suspect you're going to need, because you know what making the move this week gives them the chance to do too is if it doesn't go well.
Well, if it doesn't go well, do you go to Ty Simpson?
I wonder if they go
with
back
South Florida, or you go back to Jay. I almost feel like Simpson would be the second guy in Tampa.
I wonder if they would want to go back to Milroe if Buckner doesn't play well, knowing Ole Miss is a week later. Like that you'd need to. I don't know. I guess this is because if Milroe's the starter tomorrow, and then you decide after the game that you've made a mistake, then you're throwing a new guy in against
Ole Miss. That's right, and that's what they don't want to do. They want to at least have somebody who has shown them something against some competition other than intra-squad.
Buckner had a tendency to turn the ball over at Notre Dame, right? I mean, there's a lot of interceptions in the final bowl game, I remember, and even during.
A lot of big plays, a lot of touchdowns, both ways, his and the other team.
That's something that he could that's how he could play his way out of the job.
Oh yeah,
right?
Down and throw a couple of picks.
Yeah.
Against South Florida,
we'll see someone else. Whether it's Simpson, whether it's Milroe, who knows? But we'll see. We'll see someone else.
All right, so we're just getting underway. We've got some other games that we'll talk about. Don't forget coming up. Let's see, Scott Bagwell,
a pair of special guests, right?
Yeah, Scott Bagwell's going to be joining us at around the bottom of this hour, and then next hour, Don Dunn will be back with us. And he was asking, well, what kinds of things do we talk about? And it's like, well, there are a few right there that are pretty obvious from a coach's perspective, winning a ball game that you didn't play extremely well, coming back from a game like that, and then not looking ahead when you've got a road trip against A&M next week and you've got Samford this week.
Don was on the sideline for some of the unsightly wins of the Tuberville.
Yes.
All of the unsightly wins. Not that every Tuberville win was unsightly, but when you had games like 7-3 against LSU in – well, you know what, Bill? Even – I think some people would say 10-9, right? That 0-4 LSU game, featured a lot. You know, that was a brawl. 2 years later, Auburn beats LSU 7-3. You've got the Mississippi State 3-2 in there. You've got
things didn't exactly go swimmingly after that.
Sure, but there were some. That's true.
Because I saw some people comparing this to 3-2. No, God, it wasn't as bad as the 3-2.
It wasn't as bad as 3-2. No, but no. But
and
there
hopefully
were some,
the season's better than that. But there that
were
season.
There were some games where, I mean, there was a game where I think 9-7 in Fayetteville against Arkansas on the road. Like Auburn had some games that were just like, you know, that they were strange, but Auburn found a way to win them, you know, amid all that chaos. And so that's what it felt like. You know, it was a Tuberville-ian sort of win last Saturday night against Cal, and yeah, Don Dunn experienced
better to have one of those kinds of wins than an L.
Don Dunn had his share of those as the defensive line coach.
All right, we will get to our first break. Love for you to join in. The number to get you through, as always, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Go to ESPNAU.com. You can also stream the show live at ESPNAU.com if you can't listen here at ESPN 106.7 in the Auburn Opelika area. Shout out to everybody listening on the stream. But you can listen to podcasts at ESPNAU.com presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We will get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star...
Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on any of the ball games this weekend. Hey, we've got high school football coming up tonight on sister stations over on Wings 94.3. It'll be Auburn and Dothan down in Dothan. Scott Bagwell going to be checking in with us in about 10 minutes. And then that's at 6:30. Also at 6:30 on AU100, Lee Scott back in action. So and Jacob Goins with the call.
Auburn's at JAG.
Auburn's at JAG. That's Auburn's, right. It was at Dothan last week. Auburn is at
the former Jeff Davis.
Johnson Abernathy Greats.
That's right.
That's Johnson. But they call it JAG. Three it's different the JAG Jaguars.
Three different people. Johnson Abernathy Greats.
That is right.
Named for the new school. Auburn next week will play Percy Julian, the former Lee High School.
Yes.
But this week, the former Jeff Davis, now JAG, the JAG Jaguars in Montgomery.
Jaguars.
Auburn. That's right. And Auburn's taking them on with I believe the I think you'll have the allotment. We'll find out from Scott who's on the call with
him. I think everybody's there. I think it's the whole crew this time after he went solo last week in Dothan.
This is an amazing region of high school football, right? I mean, the different schools.
Yeah, Dothan's in the top 10 even after the loss to Auburn. Opelika is just outside the top 10. And, of course, Central and Opelika play tonight, too.
Yeah, and you still got Central coming up. I mean, you got games against Opelika. And
Enterprise is top 10.
Enterprise
Auburn,
a quality program. I mean,
you got four top 10 teams from this region and another one just outside.
It's like the AL East back when all the teams were, you know, had their business together. So it's this is a really exciting time for the high school football season. You can catch that on Wings 94.3. We're going to talk to Scott in just a couple minutes at the bottom of the hour. Lee Scott.
I didn't realize Lee Scott's got Glenwood, so it's numbers 1 and 2 there in that matchup tonight. So it's a huge ball game.
That's right. That one's on AU 100 with Jacob and Christian, so you're not going to want to miss that. Lee Scott and Glenwood on AU 100. Speaking of stuff we got going on here on the Auburn Network family of stations, SEC Football Challenge. Still happening. You can go to AUnetwork.com and use the contests page to sign up. Fabulous prizes that folks can win. You have until Friday night to enter. Orthopedic Clinic, Vintage 2298, Butcher Shop, Tzatziki's, and Johnny Brusco's, the presenting sponsors for the SEC Football Challenge on Wings 94.3 and ESPN 106.7. Still time to get your picks in for the SEC Football Challenge.
So, yeah, do that, and then you can tell us why you feel that way about certain ball games. I'm seeing more and more people that like Florida this weekend against Tennessee, that like Mississippi State against LSU. I'm not seeing people that are picking South Carolina, but a lot of people seem to like the number.
What's the pro Florida argument that they're plucky defensively and we don't really know what Tennessee
were a few boneheaded mistakes away from playing from having a much better showing against Utah, and just the how poorly Joe Milton looked last week
I mean, it's Gainesville. I mean, it's a road game. That place is going to be, as we talked to David Pascal yesterday, that place is going to be sold out. That place is going to be rocking.
That was crazy, wasn't it, when he said, we must have some weather coming, huh?
Is that the TV?
Yeah, that's the TV.
Okay.
Probably just a test.
Make sure that's muted. You know,
I don't think you can mute it.
Maybe it overrules
the mute.
Yeah,
it does. It does override the mute.
Okay, well, that's...
Well, it's just a test.
An emergency thing in the background, that's a weekly test of our
This
our
is a test.
Emergency.
This is a test of the emergency
One of the many televisions
system.
We have
if
here in the Auburn
If this had been an
Network
emergency,
studios.
You would have been instructed where to tune in your area for news and official information. I remember that. We used to do those all the time, and I had read it so many times. I bet it's been... Oh, it's been 25 years since I've read one of those things, but those are the things you would hear. You'd run that awful noise.
Do you know off the top of your head the last time Tennessee won in Gainesville?
2003.
2003, that game. Mm-hmm. I believe
that's another reason I think people like Florida, just because of history.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to think of like everything that's changed.
Until a couple of years ago, when was the last time Kentucky beat Florida?
That was Zook's second year. Like, you think about how, I mean, that's Fulmer versus Zook, 2003, Florida in the swamp against Tennessee. So yeah, we'll see what Tennessee can do. But I think it's finally time for that streak to end. It just feels like Tennessee. I need to see more out of the Florida offense. I know people are saying, well, what about Tennessee's offense? It's a good question. I mean, they lost quarterback and top two receivers from last year's team, and usually you don't just keep humming along most of the time when you lose players that productive.
It is. I really sort of enjoy watching the reactions early in a season. Because a year ago, nobody thought anything of Tennessee. They didn't expect Tennessee to be very good at all. Well, 2 years ago, it was like Josh Heupel, ha-ha, you know, Tennessee's not going to be any good. Then all of a sudden, Tennessee's going to be great. And they were still.
It had more to do with Jeremy Pruitt's termination than Josh Heupel.
It did, but I mean, nobody. Heupel... No, it was like Josh Heupel doesn't. He doesn't look like your idea. You know, I'm just saying the way you would draw up a football coach. Brian Harsin looks more like a football coach. Who would you rather have?
Yeah.
Heupel or Harsin?
Who's won more games?
Yeah. Okay, but I mean, a lot of people based it on the way Josh Heupel looked, and did not even realizing the guy was a Heisman Trophy finalist, and played, you know, played at Oklahoma for, did he play for a national champ?
Yeah.
I believe so.
And was a,
you know.
I think he won one, actually.
Yeah.
I think he had.
That's what I mean.
I think he won.
What I meant is he played for a national champion.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback for a national champ.
I don't think he played for a national champ.
But it's funny, the perceptions that people have and how quickly they change. And, you know, coming into this year, it's like, well, Joe Milton, you saw him in the bowl game, so wow, he's going to be at least as good as Hendon Hooker. Well, remember, Hendon Hooker already beat Joe Milton out. He beat him out once. There's a reason that Hooker was a starter, but not to say that Milton wasn't going to be really good. And so Tennessee comes into the season with a lot of hype.
There was a belief.
They play extremely well their first game, and it's like, oh, everything's great. They don't play so well against Austin Peay. And it's like, they're not very good.
You know what? There's a Jeremy Johnson element to Joe Milton in the sense that, and look, I think, and not as how their careers are going to play out, because I think Joe Milton could still have a sensational college football career. But last year, even when Hendon Hooker was playing well, there was talk of, well, just wait until Joe Milton is unleashed as the next guy, because he's got all these physical tools, and he was the recruit that he was going to Michigan a couple of years ago. Like, just wait. And there was a little bit of that, Bill, with Nick Marshall in 2014, right? People were like, well, you know, Nick Marshall in 2014 is, it's going well. Just wait until Jeremy Johnson steps into the...
The offense will really explode then.
And that could happen for Tennessee. But you got to see Joe Milton execute on the field as the Tennessee quarterback consistently before you believe it. This is it's a huge test for him. I did not realize that Joe Milton and Graham Mertz had played against each other before as quarterbacks.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
How about this? In front of a couple hundred fans during the 2020 season, when Michigan and Wisconsin played against each other, Wisconsin won 49-11. in front of just a couple hundred people at Michigan that day against Joe Milton. So a rematch years late. It's just like what Auburn and Cal having quarterbacks that were high school teammates,
right.
and running into each other years from like Chicago,
across the country,
from Chicago. Yeah. Two Chicago kids playing each other in an Auburn Cal game. And now you've got a couple of guys who started their career as Big Ten quarterbacks, played each other in an empty stadium in the COVID season, and now they will be the quarterbacks for Florida, Tennessee in 2023.
Yeah, that is crazy. Well, that's the transfer portal. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Scott Bagwell going to join us on the other side as he will preview the Auburn Jag game tonight over in Montgomery. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and we will head to the phone. Welcome in the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, and that's Scott Bagwell. Scott, how you doing today?
Good. How are y'all?
Pretty good. I don't know. I had a brain freeze a while ago, and I said the Tigers were at Dothan. No, that was last week. Let's talk about that one, though. That was a must win, and boy, it wasn't easy, but it was another top 10 matchup, and the Tigers go on the road and come away victorious.
Yeah, I danced around calling it a must win when interviewing Coach Edwards before the game. He goes, no, I'll do it. It's a must win.
It was, no doubt.
And yeah, Auburn found a way to get the win in less than ideal circumstances. Quarterback hurt, you know, having to go down there with nobody at quarterback who had taken a competitive varsity snap. Early in the game, you lose one of your two linebackers against that offense. Put Auburn in a really tough spot, and Auburn found a way to make enough plays and get the goal line stand at the end. Game started with a goal line stand, and the game ended with a goal line stand, just by different teams, and Auburn got out of there with a must win victory.
Yeah, talk about the talk about the first timers there at quarterback.
They did. Auburn, I thought, did a really good job of not putting too much on their shoulders. They turned to the backs and the offensive line and said, "Y'all are going to have to, you know, carry the load here." And I thought Auburn offensively up front played their best game. Henry Allen had a touchdown, carried the ball well. Crawford Lothridge came in, completed a big pass, got Auburn kind of kickstarted on their first touchdown drive. And then Ian, who played quarterback, did good stuff in the read game and avoided some big-time potential negative plays on some leaks and pass protection when he was able to get the ball out or save the play. And you know, all in all, you take everything into account that you had less than a week to get ready and everything mm-hmm. like that. I thought it was a very well done job, very good job by the staff and by the kids executing the plan to get the win. I think tonight the plan is, you know, they Auburn knows that they have 2 weeks before the Ramsey Opelika Central stretch to get this pass game, not necessarily, you know, where it was, but get it to where it's not such a weakness. They know that to beat those teams, they're going to have to be able to throw the ball some. So, you know, they view this week and next week as opportunities to get that ready while knowing they still have to win. And if they go out there and they don't play well, they can find themselves in a four-quarter game.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is an opportunity. That's the way these, you know, the coaches and players have to really treat this here the next week or two. So, who do you think gets the bulk of the work at quarterback, or do we see something similar to what we did last week?
I think Ian's going to spend most of the time at receiver this year, or this week, and probably next. I think it's going to be more Henry and more Crawford Lothridge, and then maybe even some Max Hammer, which is another sophomore quarterback. Try to see who's going to be able to complete passes, read the defense, and get Auburn into a rhythm. You know, I talked to Coach E about it, you know, hey, you're not playing a top 10 team. You know, there's an opportunity to kind of go into a lull, even though you're banged up and all that. And he goes, look, we're not good enough to just throw our helmet out there right now and get a win. We need to make sure we show up locked in and ready to play. So I'm interested to see how Auburn handles what could be a trap game, and really a trap game the next 2 weeks, surrounded by all the big-time games that they're playing this year.
Yeah, now you mentioned another injury. I mean, that's one thing that really has bitten the Tigers a little bit here early in the season, some guys going down. I mean, what's the likelihood of getting some of them back pretty soon?
Yeah, I think Ty Hudson, who got hurt at linebacker, he should be back for the Opelika game. Auburn's going to be cautious there. Jackson Kilgore, the quarterback, I'm not sure. I think it's penciled in on the for the playoffs if Auburn's able to get there. I know they would like to get him back a little bit beforehand.
Sure.
Just so that his first snap back isn't in the playoffs. So, and I think Ty Flakes, who was out last week, I think he'll be back tonight. And then they're starting to get some of their DBs back, and Jalen Davis was back last week. So, you know, they're getting some good news while still trying to get some other guys healthy.
Of course, tonight's matchup down in Montgomery is Jag. That's Johnson Abernathy Greats. But they go by Jag, the Jag Jaguars. Yep. Formerly, it's a, you know, for folks that are going, is that a new school? No, it's the school that was JD.
Yeah. And, you know, they've always had good athletes. They've usually run pretty good offense, a pro-style offense, move some guys around, try to create some mismatches for you. The issue is, you know, they never have the numbers really on the lines to really stretch it into a four-quarter game. So, you know, I watched some games. They were able to get some guys into open space against Lanier and Opelika and find some plays. But, you know, they're going to give up plays as well. It's one of those things where if Auburn goes out and they play well and they play clean, they should be fine. But as they found last year against Lee when they played, as Auburn came in, first week number one team in the state, Auburn played sloppy in that first quarter and found themselves, you know, in a one-score game. You don't want to let this team hang around and get confidence. You want to go in and go ahead, take advantage, and put this one away quickly.
Yeah, because as you said, they've usually got a couple of very good skill players that can that can hurt you.
Yeah, and you don't want to let them get into space, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get confidence, they get momentum, they get in a rhythm. Now all of a sudden, those guys are flying all over the field, and they're getting the ball in space, and now you're chasing them all over the field. You know, there's some things that they do well on the offensive side. They do a good job of getting those guys in space, so. You know, Auburn's still going to have to read their keys. There's some guys that I think are going to get their first start tonight. And I think it's been a weird year where there's always some type of different wrinkle or layer going into the game of who's going to get the opportunity to step up. And some guys will get their opportunity tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing them getting that opportunity and see how well they perform.
Yeah, and one of the things, again, in case you weren't following it closely back at the start of the season when we were talking, this is a team that only brought back four starters. They've got a lot of players that have talent, but they just don't have much experience.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what Coach, when I talked to him, he said, you know, when we get to, you know, end of September, which is kind of scary that we're almost there, and October, we're going to be a lot better team than when we took the field at the Hoover Met. So, you know, we're starting to see some of that growth. We saw the offensive line had a really good game last week against Dothan. And, you know, kids just got to keep grinding through it and keep getting better. Everybody knows what lies ahead of this team. But to get to those big games against Ramsey, Opelika, Central, Prattville, and have them mean what they should mean, Auburn's got to take care of business tonight and then again next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, you got the whole crew tonight?
Rob's a little bit under the weather.
So okay.
I think he's gonna. He might show up, but when I talked to him earlier today, I think he's gonna miss. So myself and Jack Hudden will have the call, and hopefully we'll be able to bring back a victory from the capital city.
Looking forward to it again. 6:30 the airtime on Wings.
Yes, sir. 6:30 airtime. 7:00 kick. As we'll be at historic Crampton Bowl for the Tigers once again this week.
That is such a nicer venue. I mean, now that they've upgraded it and And you've got. Did you ever do a game over there before the elevators were in place?
I did not. Have
oh
to
God,
climb
you're lucky. You're so lucky. I mean, you had the game all by yourself last week. I remember the days where you used to have to pull all the equipment up through little bitty staircases, and there was a spiral one along the way.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. So yeah, that's great. It's a cool place to do a ball game from. That is, looking forward to the broadcast tonight, Scott.
Yeah, it should be a whole lot of fun.
All right, take care. Have a great broadcast.
Have a good one, Scott.
Y'all have a good one.
Scott Bagwell, voice of the Auburn High Tigers. It's Auburn and Jag tonight from Crampton Bowl. Again, 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kick on Wings 94.3. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
What's going on, everybody?
On ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. And we'd love for you to join in. Your thoughts on any of the ball games this weekend. What are you looking for from the Auburn-Samford game tomorrow? Homecoming for the Tigers. What do you think will happen with any of the ball games around the SEC or the country? I mean, there's obviously more interest in the Colorado-Colorado State game just because the Colorado State coach has made some comments that have fired up Colorado even more. Like you need to fire them up every week. You're going to get beaten anyway. But you know, just any of the games around the country, what are you thinking? Not a huge weekend as far as the SEC, but there are a couple of pretty interesting games. We talked a little while ago about the Tennessee-Florida game down in Gainesville. LSU goes to Starkville to take on Mississippi State. And then you've got Georgia, South Carolina, which should be should be a one-sided game. Has Georgia just been? I mean, Georgia could just sort of sleepwalk through the first couple of weeks and still go out and hand South Carolina a one-sided loss. That's what most everybody expects.
I mean, it's too bad that a couple of the best teams in the country sort of afforded themselves two games where the opponent is just completely overmatched, and that's how they open the season. That's true of Georgia. That's true of Michigan, right? You think about, like, the out-of-conference games they've played the first two games. I mean, they haven't even been close to being challenged. So
no.
We'll learn a little bit more about Georgia tomorrow. It still seems like South Carolina is several tiers below Georgia, but that's also with the assumption that nobody is on Georgia's tier, right? Like, right now, the second-best team in the country is probably not as good as Georgia. Now, we'll learn more, you know, over the course of the season. I mean, right now, I don't even know who the second-best team in the country is. Is it one of these Big Ten teams that has steamrolled? Is it...
How can you know about anybody right yeah. now? I mean, you've got a pretty good idea that Texas is pretty good now. I mean, Texas looks pretty good,
right? And I'm betting on some of the Pac-12 teams that brought back high level quarterbacks. Like, I feel like USC's probably pretty good. Like, I think they're gonna.
They ought to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. That's a team I'm thinking, you know, has a chance. Ohio State and Michigan.
Florida State looked pretty good.
Oh, Florida State and they beat someone to do it.
Yeah,
although we'll learn more about
we'll find
LSU.
More about LSU. If LSU goes into Starkville and loses, then I mean, it still doesn't mean Florida State's not good. It just may mean LSU's not as good.
It would be a shocking turn of events. I know Doug had the stat that after the Florida State game, LSU was 7-5 now under Brian Kelly against Power 5 teams. Like the Florida State loss dropped them to that distinction since he now they've played 12 Power 5 teams in the first
right.
16 games or so of the Brian Kelly era. But then we'll learn a little bit more about that team tomorrow.
Yeah, we will, and we'll learn a little more about Mississippi State, because it's been an odd thing to see Will Rogers not throwing the ball.
Yeah,
Will Rogers coming back, you would expect that. Well, you're still going to take advantage of a guy who was on pace to break every record for passing in SEC history.
But Zach Arnett
not if he throws 17 passes a game.
Well, and Zach Arnett was not, he wasn't brought in as a caretaker. Like, it's his program.
That's right. And he wasn't, yeah, he wasn't brought in by Mike Leach to run his offense. He was brought in to run the defense.
Right. He's someone with his own ideas about offense, and he's going to empower his own offensive coordinator. And they've moved, you know, it seems like they've moved away from the air raid that we saw Mississippi State run for the entirety of Mike Leach's time. Now will they go more pass heavy against SEC teams when they feel like they're at a talent disadvantage?
I mean, they've got a good running game. They've got a good running game, and defensive coaches generally don't want offenses that go quick three and out.
Yeah. I mean, so and with Will Rogers, you would hope that your offense isn't going to be a quick three and out offense, but tomorrow we will see that. That's one of the I mean, we've got – I know it's not the
– I see more of a chance – I don't know why, but I mean, I feel there's more of a chance of an upset there than there is in Gainesville. I don't know. Maybe it's just my lack of confidence in the Gators.
That's exactly what it is. Like, it's I think it's a belief that Florida has more problems at the moment than Mississippi State does. Like, I'm not, but then again, Florida's got.
I think Florida has talent.
Florida has the athletes on. Yeah, Florida has athletes on defense that help keep the Utah game closer than maybe it should have been. So, yeah, we're gonna. This is a big test for a lot of SEC teams tomorrow. South Carolina had that, had real trouble blocking North Carolina, right?
Like, they had real trouble.
They had real trouble.
Their
blocking
offensive
North Carolina.
Line looks awful.
Can they
did against Carolina?
Can they rise to the challenge against Georgia? When
can they get the ball out of Spencer Rattler's hands quick enough to prevent him from getting hurt?
Right. Yeah. Can they keep Spencer Rattler upright for four quarters and away from
if they run slow
Georgia's
developing
defense?
Plays? That's bad.
I don't know who can run slow developing plays against Georgia though. Right. Like
either.
That
no,
seems to
right.
me like a recipe for disaster. With and will you know Auburn will have its chance in a couple of weeks. Next home game after tomorrow is when the Georgia Bulldogs come to town at the end of the month. Georgia most likely will be riding a 24 game win streak. When they come,
yeah.
To
who
Auburn.
They got next week?
I've got the
SEC schedule.
I think
right
it's
here.
It's a winnable. It's UAB.
Yeah, they do. They've got UAB. They've
UAB
got,
in Athens,
and their first trip out outside of Athens will be the game at Auburn. So they've got because they've had UT Martin, Ball State. They've got South Carolina and UAB all at home before they travel
that would
to
be,
Auburn.
That would be Georgia's. That would be the SEC championship game in 21. I think that would be Georgia's last loss was when Alabama beat them in. Didn't Alabama beat them in the SEC championship game in 21? Then Georgia beat them in the title game.
Yeah,
isn't that how it worked out?
Yeah,
so,
I guess
so Georgia,
that's right.
Georgia's last loss, the SEC championship game in 2021. You got to go. I think you got to go back deeper for the last regular season. I guess technically they count the SEC. You know, whatever. But it's been a while since you know coming up, getting closer to 2 years.
Yeah,
since Georgia has lost a game on the field.
Yeah, they'll be in around a year and a half when they come in here. 334-321-1390. Give us your thoughts on any of the ball games this week. Again, we'd love to know what would you like to see from Auburn tomorrow. I mean,
what's the longest?
Like I said, I've had some people say, "Man, I want to see Jarquez Hunter. I want to see Auburn run for 400 yards." And it's like I don't know. In my mind, sure, I'd like to see that, but I don't know that really helps you feel like. If you get in a bind and you've got to throw the ball, then what?
It'll be a question for a couple weeks from now. What is the longest win streak that's like been that's ever come to Jordan-Hare or it's been snapped at Jordan-Hare? Like those kind of things? Because I feel like there haven't been that many teams on 20-plus game win
no,
streaks.
No, you're right. There haven't been. I mean, that doesn't happen very often because you don't have many teams on that have perfect seasons. I mean, Alabama's had one under Nick Saban. LSU had one.
I believe it's still true. The University of Florida has never had one.
I believe that is right.
I believe Florida like that. They've never had an undefeated season in the history of the program. So yeah, I mean it's rare. And Auburn could get that chance for some history in a couple of weeks. But yeah, tomorrow night, what can Auburn do against? What can Auburn do to get things rolling?
Yeah, what
against,
can they do? What do you think they should do?
My questions that I sort of posed in the thing we write for Brian for the picking contest, you know, I tossed out there, can Thorne get more comfortable? Can receivers other than Fair and Double J establish themselves as reliable targets? And can the running backs hold on to the ball and cut down on the fumbles?
Yeah, that's one that I just, I don't worry about that right now. If we see it again,
I'll worry if it continues.
Yeah, if we see it again against you against Samford, yeah, then I'll worry. All right, we'll get to our half midway break, top of the hour break. We're right back with hour number two. Don Dunn joins us in about 15 minutes, so stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan in the studio, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in as we get underway with hour number two of the Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join us. And you can give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Go to and you can rate, review, subscribe if you use Apple, Google, Spotify, one of the podcasting platforms. That helps us out. Again, podcasts all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractor. Great stuff this week on the podcast, right? Between Justin and Jason, and Brian Matthews, Jake. I mean, we Andy Burcham. I mean, just a outstanding analysis. And I think we said some good stuff, too.
Probably, yeah, every once in a while we might get lucky and say something.
Something slipped out from one of us, too.
Yep. So. Hey, we've got Don Dunn, who'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. But until then, the phone lines are open. And let's get to them. And James is up first. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Man, glad it's Friday. I'm ready to see some football tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I kind of think the Florida-Tennessee game is going to be interesting, to be honest with you guys.
Man, more and more people seem to feel like this one's going to be tight.
Yeah, I feel that way too, and I don't know why all of a sudden it seems to be that way, but I just get this feeling that it's not going to turn out like we think it's going to turn out, you know?
Well, it is a huge ball game for the Gators, for Billy Napier.
Well, and I guess that folks who think that it's going to be a Tennessee route, and I wouldn't rule that possibility out, because if Florida can't go offensively and Tennessee works some things out, I think Florida could be in trouble.
Florida has not, or at least in the Utah game, they could not run the ball.
Well, and Florida put up a bunch of points last week against McNeese.
Yeah.
But McNeese gave up more points to an FCS team the week earlier. So even the 49 points Florida scored on Saturday comes with an asterisk, because I think it was Tarleton who played McNeese the week before, and they scored 50 plus points, and then Florida. I mean, so it was an improvement for the McNeese defense to just hold Florida to 49, and I wonder how that translates against a Tennessee defense. Barrett pointed out, I mean, Tennessee was up 35-3 on Virginia and kind of called the dogs off in that opener. I mean, they had
Virginia is bad.
Virginia,
but yes, you're right.
Virginia's not great, but that's a it's a Tennessee team that I think they've shown more to this point. Can they go on the road and do it against a sold out Swamp and a Florida team that has its back against the wall? I don't know, but that's a I think there's chance that game's close. There's chance that Tennessee just carpet bombs them.
Yeah, that Mississippi State LSU game looks to be a little closer than we, I think, all expected too. But I think the Florida Tennessee game is going to be the closer in between the two is going to wind up being the closest game in between those two. So
yeah, we'll know a little bit more tomorrow. I mean, that's one of the things that we were talking about. The perception just varies wildly early in a season, depending on how teams play, and you don't really know until they've played a couple of teams that you know what you're getting.
What do you want to see from Auburn tomorrow, James?
I guess more consistency on the offensive front. I really think Peyton Thorne, you know, Robbie Ashford's a great talent, but I think Thorne needs to be in there. I need to see him throw more. It's not that I don't think he can throw. I know he can throw. I just want him to feel more comfortable because at times he doesn't look as comfortable as he should, you know. And I don't know what the reasons are behind that, but I mean, you know, I just want to see a little bit more consistency out of offense. So.
No, I agree. I mean, that was exactly my feeling watching him last week. He just looked uncomfortable. Did not look like he could ever, you know, get into any kind of thing until that, you know, until the last drive or the scoring drive, that is.
And that fumble may have messed with him, you know, because that was really kind of a weird play anyways. And you just never know what bothers players, because certain players are bothered by certain things and some are bothered by other things. So, I mean, I know that from playing high school ball. So, I mean, just everybody's different, and I don't know how he's handling all of this. So, who knows? But yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, James. Yeah, and again, it wouldn't be, well, everything is solved if he plays very well tomorrow. If Peyton were to play sort of like he did last week, then what? Then what do you do?
If he were to finish the game, like
sort of an off and on missing guy.
Here's my thing. If you don't pull Peyton, like if you don't pull Peyton tomorrow and give Robbie Ashford some time with the first team offense, then you should not start Robbie Ashford against Texas A&M. You know what I mean? Like making the quarterback change there. Like I would think now if Peyton Thorne struggles tomorrow, you know, maybe you go to Robbie and see what happens tomorrow, because you'd want to give Robbie some time with the first team in a game before doing it against Texas A&M in College Station a week later. So I would think, yeah, I mean, I don't know how precarious the grip is. I would think that Peyton Thorne is still fairly comfortable as the starter. It's just a matter of he needs to produce a little bit more and Auburn wants to say, and it's not just on Peyton Thorne as far as the passing offense needing to produce more. There's other, you know, we've talked about the receivers. Under the gun
well,
as
you,
well.
But you really hope you see some receivers getting separation, getting open, and you know, just demanding the ball.
I mean, I'd be tempted to give Peyton the whole half and not play the quarterback switcheroo and say, you know what, it's your offense and your team and your show.
Oh, that's reasonable. I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
Yeah, maybe third and short at the goal line or something if you want to give Robbie in for a spark or something. But I'd say, you know, let's see what an offense that is, you know, that is directed and led by Peyton Thorne looks like before we make a decision about what it needs to look like. Because I suspect as the season goes on, the notion of swapping quarterbacks in and things is going to be tougher to do against better opponents. So yeah, I would hope that Auburn can make some strides as a passing offense. And we've also, throughout his career, we've seen that when you run the ball, Peyton Thorne is a more effective quarterback.
Right.
Alongside that run game. So, yeah, getting the run game going. Maybe this is a Jeremiah Cobb and Brian Battee game where you don't want to put unnecessary tread on the Damari Alston and Jarquez Hunter mile. You know, you don't want to put tread on their tires.
I don't know. I think you want Jarquez. I think you would want Jarquez to prove that, okay, he's knocked some of that rust off.
Maybe Damari can take a step back in this game because he's played some in the first two. Like you said, Jarquez needs... Jarquez needs to knock the rust off, and the other two guys need the ball, right? Like, I mean, I could see Battee and Jeremiah Cobb being guys that, you know, maybe against Samford, you run some things that show what they can do with the ball.
We talked mostly about the offense. Defensively, I think it may be a little different. I think guys that you want to be 100% against Texas A&M don't play them much, if at all.
You would think if you're not sure about.
I would think I might like to get Nehemiah Pritchett out there just if he's, you know, if he's cleared, good to go. Might like to get him out there for a little bit just, you know, just so he gets the feel, because he hasn't been able to play in either of the first two games.
I could see them really taking it easy with Kaufman.
You know, absolutely.
Maybe Donovan Kaufman doesn't play because he's played so much the first 2 weeks. And
I mean, Larry Nixon, I mean, if you know, I don't want to push guys who were banged up last week.
And this is a game, unlike a conference game, this is a game where if a guy doesn't play, the silver lining in that guy not playing is that you get to evaluate other players at the
right
position and see what you have.
Mm-hmm.
If Larry Nixon can't go tomorrow, probably more snaps for Cam Riley,
Wes Steiner, maybe Robert Woodyard.
I would think maybe Auburn wants to see some more film of those guys and hope that they can, you know, they can move, you know, they can make a move and start putting in a case for playing time.
334-321-1390. I tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our break so that we can bring in Don Dunn, Coach Don Dunn. Well, we've got a call coming. Tell you what, Drew will answer that, and we will. Well, they hung up.
I heard we were saying, yeah.
Well, I mean, if the line was ringing, we'd be answering. But we're going to go ahead and get to our first break. So we will talk with Coach Don Dunn on the other side as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the Pro 7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and it's our pleasure now to welcome in Coach Don Dunn to the drive as we do each Friday afternoon around 5:15. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right, Coach. It's you know, I was thinking about you and that coaching staff on Saturday night, right? Like that was a Tuberville flavored victory to see it, you know, play out like that, and then Auburn come away with
get
it at
the win.
End.
That's what matters.
That's exactly right. You know, I learned a great lesson when I was a graduate assistant at Tennessee under Johnny Majors. He would say, "A win is a win," and he said, "Always celebrate them because they're hard to get." And I thought that was a very, very good win for us. We didn't play as well on offense, but defense came through. We did a great job on third down. I don't know what their third down percentage was, but I think it's like 4-for-19 or 4-for-20. And I think we got lined up better, it looked like, on defense. And our offense will come around, but I thought it was a great win. That's a hard place to play, you know, going that far, and I thought our crowd was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I really believe there were 10,000 folks there. I didn't get to make it. Younger son did. And, I mean, everyone that went just talked about how many Auburn folks they saw all over Northern California.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
You know, I would like to know sort of the biggest challenges of playing that far from home, right, Coach? Like, what are the things? Because we hear about offensive communication. But what about for a defense and just for a team in general? Like, and it's not even so much during the game, right? Like, what are the big challenges, you know, facing a team when they take a road trip multiple time zones away?
Well, like you said, a lot of it's communication. You got to make sure you're communicating. You're getting the calls in. You're all on the same page. I think they might have made it a little more simple on defense. It seemed like we were flying around more. But it's hard, you know, you got to adjust to time, especially with a late night game like that. Just what do you do during the day? And I think they handled everything pretty well. But it is tough. But I think the worst part is coming back. I don't know what time they got back. I'm sure it was Sunday morning. I'm sure the sun was up. So that's a day you kind of lose, and you got to get them all back together. And luckily, we're at home this week. It'd be really tough to go on the road again.
Yeah, they got back in, I think, what everyone was saying, between 10 and 10:30 Sunday morning.
Golly.
Yeah, so, they got done with the interviews, and we're getting on the plane.
That's where it's got to be so much easier after a win. Right? Like, that's where I have to imagine.
Oh, that would have been terrible after a loss.
Yeah, you don't. You know, like you guys were giving me a hard time earlier about the Mississippi State game, 3-2. But just think how bad they felt.
Yeah.
And I remember Sylvester Croom, he had a look of a dead man coming across the field. And we didn't give up any points on defense. We won 3-2. Unbelievable.
No, there were a couple of those. I mean, I think about the Thursday night game at South Carolina against Spurrier, where you guys had the ball for the whole third quarter.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a game you guys beat the McFadden Arkansas Razorbacks at the buzzer after shutting them out for most of the game. Like there were some of those where maybe the game's not going to be on ESPN Classic next week, but you got the win, and I think it's maybe you found out a little bit. You found out about your team at certain positions. I think that's true. You're just talking about Auburn's defense.
Right.
There's probably some of that with some of the defensive players Auburn learned about on Saturday night.
Right. And another thing, you know, you can coach them hard this week or this past week when you win like that. You know, I know Coach was disappointed with the offense, and we probably had too many turnovers, 7 penalties. We didn't have any the first game. But you can coach them a lot harder when you win. And I'm sure they got after them pretty good on offense this week. And like you guys, I think we're going to probably try to air it out a little bit tomorrow. You know, we'll run the ball. But I think he wants to maybe throw it down the field a little bit more tomorrow. Well, they've got a good quarterback, like you said earlier.
Oh, yeah, Michael Hyers is a guy that has been around and put up really, really big numbers. He was one of the top junior college quarterbacks coming out when he went to Samford. And he and some of those guys also are thinking about, hey, they want to prove that they're good enough to be playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium and probably feel like, you know, they're a little slighted that Auburn may not have paid more attention to them.
Oh, yeah, that's always that motivational factor. I coached in a lot of schools like that, and whenever we went against a big-time team, we didn't have trouble getting the kids up, you know. But I think we'll be fine. I look for us to throw the ball more and you know, they've given up, I think, 7 sacks. I think we'll put some pressure on him that he hadn't seen before. Our one linebacker, I can't remember his name, is playing really well.
Eugene Asante. Yes. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with him.
Yeah, he's led the team in tackles both weeks. I mean, that's one thing you see with Ron Roberts. Doesn't mind sending somebody. Doesn't mind sending a player or two on a blitz. That's where Donovan Kaufman's been able to make a couple of big plays,
Coach,
as well.
Right. Coach, you'd really like Eugene Asante's story, too. This is a guy who, you know, he transferred to Auburn, didn't really work out the way he thought it would a year and a half ago, and found himself, you know, kind of buried on the depth chart, dealing with some personal struggles, some personal tragedies. And he, you know, he just got to work. And has worked his way from, I mean, something of an afterthought on the depth chart a couple of months ago to being Auburn's top option at linebacker and the SEC co-defensive player of the week. It's one of those really cool stories that you get in college football sometimes.
You really cheer for young men like that, and that's what makes it all worthwhile as a coach when you have a young man that doesn't transfer again, you know, doesn't quit, doesn't get in the portal, doesn't drop his lip. Doesn't pout. He just goes to work, and it's a result of what he's done. I mean, very impressive. But I think we'll get after him. I think Coach will send him a little bit more tomorrow night, maybe, and put some pressure on that young man. And again, I think we'll try to open the passing game up. You know, we've only given up 2 sacks. That's pretty darn good in today's football.
Oh, you're absolutely right. One other thing we haven't really talked about much this week, but I wonder. If it's a bit of a concern, you've got all the homecoming stuff going on. You come back from across the country, and you start SEC play next week at Texas A&M. How do you deal with that? Can that be a concern? And if so, how do you deal with the guys not just looking past Samford and thinking they could just go through the motions?
Well, like I said, I think they probably worked them pretty hard this week. Probably harder than the week before. You always want to remind them about the App States, the Troys beating LSU, you know, East Tennessee State beating Vanderbilt last year, or 2 years ago. I'm sure there were some reminders of those games. And I think you just keep working them. Try not to change any routine. You can't let up. You probably want to get a little tougher on a week like this.
Yeah, I was wondering about that sort of same thing, Coach. The notion of when it's the week of a game against an FCS opponent or a Group of 5 opponent, like is there anything, are there any tricks that the coaching staff employs to keep the team focused? Is there a temptation to work on upcoming opponents instead of what you're going to see on Saturday? I wonder what it's like inside the operation when you're playing playing in one of these so-called paycheck games.
Yeah, we always said one game at a time when we tried to enforce that with our players. But it's hard. There's so much social media now. The kids listen. They hear just what we hear. Well, we should beat them by 50 and that kind of stuff. I think you just don't change anything and you work them as hard as you can. And I always remind my guys about the App States, the Troys, that it can happen because, they work hard and practice too. So you just, as a coach, you're a nervous wreck on these type games. I'd much rather be going to play LSU than a Sanford or a Troy or somebody like that that could just jump up and bite you.
Talking with Coach Don Dunn here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Got a few games, a few SEC games that look like mismatches, but then I'm not so sure. Now, Georgia is much, much better than South Carolina, and they have beaten them like a drum the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But we will see. I mean, there's a reason they play, but it's hard to believe, an SEC team that's not a struggling Vandy or something being 28-point underdogs. But that's what South Carolina is going into Athens tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a really big score. I don't know. I don't think it'll be that bad, but, it could be. Georgia hasn't played anybody yet.
Right.
But we'll see. South Carolina, I think was a disappointment in the first game against North Carolina, I believe it was, and that kind of stunned them. So they'll have to rebound. Then the LSU at Mississippi State's an interesting game for me. And that's a tough place to play, as you guys know. And then Florida-Tennessee, that's just an old-fashioned rivalry. You kind of throw the book out when those two get together.
And that's,
it's hard to win in the Swamp.
That's going to be the Swamp's going to be sold out tomorrow night as well. It's hard to win there. Although you were part of an Auburn victory there, one or two of them. But that's going to be what Florida can do against the Tennessee offense. Seems like it's going to really dictate that game.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. Alabama's not playing a marquee opponent.
No, but they're changing quarterbacks.
They're changing quarterbacks, and I want to see how that team responds after Saturday night, Coach.
I cannot believe they're going to South Florida. I thought that was a misprint. But
well, they did a two. They did a two-for-one deal that they get South Florida there twice, and they're going down there once. But that is still a surprise when you see that. When I first saw it, I thought, that's a typo. That game can't be down there.
Yeah, but probably knowing Coach Saban a little bit as I do, he probably welcomed that, with all the distractions. Everybody's jumping off the wagon that he's going to retire. He can't coach. Get us out of town. Let's go to somebody else's house and play. You can keep your team together that way and not as much chatter.
I have to imagine there are some Florida recruits that are able to see the team, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now that he takes the team down to Tampa.
I think he accidentally found one or
two
down there.
How about that? Found his way down to Tampa. It's always, find an advantage. Wherever you can, and they've got Ole Miss in a week, Coach. So that's one where suddenly Alabama's like, what's the attitude? Because you were in some big games where it was two top 10 teams facing off against each other, and a lot of hype going into the game. When you're on the losing side of a game like that, what are the next few days like? What's sort of a crucial thing that a coaching staff has to do to keep spirits high and things, because I have to imagine Alabama players were somewhat blindsided by the result on Saturday night. They hadn't lost a home at a conference game since ULM 15 years earlier. Like that's just not something that happens.
Well, nowadays it's probably more stressful because immediately everybody says, "Well, now you're out of the playoff picture if you lose a game," which they're not. But people put that on them. And you just got, as a coach, you just got to go back to work. I know that sounds corny, but you can't really change. You got to do what you've been doing. You can't overreact. I think a lot of young coaches, head and assistants, overreact. We're going to kill them. We're going to run them into the ground, and that's not. You got to be as positive as you can and build them back up because, they're a good team. They're just struggling right now, quarterback. But that's all you can do is go back to work and just try not to change your routine to – where the kids think you're panicking. You know, oh my gosh, the world's ending. You know, we lost the game. But it's devastating. It's no fun to lose those games, believe me.
Coach, when you said it's different now, I thought you were going to mention that now kids are on social media right after the game and they hear about they hear about how they played, and they probably hear about it from fans. And now more than ever, they're probably hearing about it from people who lost money on the game, letting them know how they felt about it, which probably is making it feel, you know, making it seem even worse on the losing side of a game like that.
Yeah, you're right. It's really changed. Unfortunate, but yeah, social media, it's tough on them. They get a lot of pressure on them. They really do, a lot more than even when I was coaching.
Yeah, there is everything is immediate right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the immediacy, it's like, you know, everybody knows as soon as it happens, they do. So, yeah, that's something that you just have to deal with these days. It is the way it is. Don, it's always great. Love having you with us here on Fridays. What's your plan for the weekend? I'm sure I got an idea.
Tonight. We got a big cater tomorrow going out, getting more and more crowded with homecoming, and going tonight and cook up a bunch of ribs and brisket and butts and sausage and turkey, and come back tomorrow and take a little nap and then watch football all day, and then I'll cook something.
I could be out late into the night tonight. So if I find myself
I'll come by and see me.
Might knock on the door. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Don. Coach Don Dunn joining us as he does on Fridays. Yeah, it's great to have him with us. Get his thoughts and insights. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still time for you to join in the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Friday with Bill and Dan. Yeah, I saw. 334-321-1390. And let's get to the phones. And Keith is up first. Hey, Keith.
Hey, yeah, I'm glad y'all do that with Coach Dunn. I always liked him.
Great guy.
He's a good coach, yeah, and that was some good times. Yeah, y'all were talking about the quarterbacks, and, you know, what I'd like to see them do is still rotate a little bit, but I'd like to do it more like Urban Meyer used to do with Tim Tebow and the guy that was there before Tim Tebow. I can't remember his name, but – you know, he did that kind of with them. So he would bring them
Chris
in.
Leak. Chris Leak. You're talking about 06 when Tebow was the true freshman and Chris Leak was the starter. Chris Leak was playing the vast, vast majority of the time in competitive games. They'd bring in Tim Tebow for a third and short or a goal line play almost exclusively. And I don't know how many passes Tim Tebow threw the entire 2006 season in those scenarios. It felt like it was almost always a run. I know the jump pass worked its way in a couple of times, but it was I think it's the first thing people think about when you have a change of pace quarterback who runs more than the starter that you bring mm-hmm. in. Leak and Tebow is sort of that's maybe as prominent example as there's been in college football.
Yeah, but also when Leak was before Tebow got there, and before Leak was the starter, you know, he used to bring in Leak, and he would run like the fourth or fifth series, but he would have the whole series. And, you know, I'd like to see him do Robbie like that. Just let Peyton run the show three or four or five series or whatever. And, you know, unless it's just a nail-biter game or something, or even if it is, if you believe in Robbie, bring him in, let him run the whole thing. So, I mean, if he's the second-string quarterback or the next guy in line, let him come in and run the whole show. And then if you need him to come in for something special, bring him in. But, you know, that's what I'd like to see. And then, you know, kind of they would stay in the flow and it'd be a little bit more fair to Robbie, too.
It's going to be interesting to see how they do it tomorrow. It's hard to believe they'd sort of do it like that tomorrow. I think they want to see, can they get some consistency and something really clicking with Peyton?
Yeah, I think it's time to – I mean, not that there isn't a role for Robbie Ashford if he's not the starter, but, like, I think it's time to pick a quarterback. And I think it's time to say, like, all right, who's quarterback? He's going to play. And if that guy – if the guy who gives the team the best chance to win is Robbie, then go with Robbie and let Robbie Ashford be the quarterback. But if it's not, if it's Peyton, then Peyton Thorne needs more reps to get more comfortable, is what it seems like to me. Like, I'd be using tomorrow to get Peyton Thorne as many. If Peyton Thorne is going to be the quarterback against A&M, I would use tomorrow to get Peyton Thorne as many reps as possible so that the passing offense can improve between now and Texas A&M. If it's not going to be Peyton Thorne against A&M, then use tomorrow to get someone else more reps.
But also, you know, we were talking about how many running backs we have and all the playmakers they need to get the ball to. And, you know, with these, I mentioned it the other day about the practice restraints, and they put you under time restraints and everything. And now they changed the rules of the game. And, you know, if unless you run a hurry up, no huddle offense, or you're just so efficient that you go down and score every time, it's hard to get everybody's ball. I mean, and you were talking.
Oh, you're right. Right. I mean, you don't get as many plays now as you used to.
No, they're almost forcing you to go fast pace. And then when you were talking to Coach Dunn there, you know, I just remember when you said something about we held the ball the whole third quarter. It just seemed like when – I loved them Tuberville years, but it did seem like there were some games where we might not have but four offensive series in the first half and maybe not but three or four in the second half. I mean, but, you know, they usually made the best of it. I mean, they'd find a way to – be in the game, but you know, I could see if somebody's dominant on offense and really has their offense clicking, I mean, you might not get but two or three series and the way this clock thing is now.
Oh, especially with the removal of the clock stopping on first down. Like that to me is I mean, we're seeing plays shaved off of every half of college football now with the clock rolling after first downs. And yeah, Auburn, I mean, it showed. We saw Saturday night. You have a frustrating half. A couple things go wrong. You could be sitting there with what 20 plays and 80 something yards of offense. You know, it was a nightmare for the first two and a half quarters for Auburn. They got rolling a little bit, and you know the final numbers weren't flashy either. But
hey, Auburn had almost as many yards in the fourth quarter as they did the first three. Auburn had 122 yards total offense through three quarters, then had 108 in the fourth.
Which gives you a taste of what they might have been able to do had they avoided turnovers the rest of the game.
Well, I think so.
Well, with the time restraints in practice, well, they're almost making them do the practice in a hurry-up, no huddle, or just fast pace as they can go. And I know they need to do that to get more reps. But then, you know, there is a teaching time when you got to slow down and teach somebody. And, of course, I know they have chalk talks and all that, but you know, I just wish they would. It's kind of like the government; they just try to put too many rules on.
Anti-regulation in college football, Keith. We got you. appreciate the phone call, Keith. Good stuff as always. But yeah, I think it's I mean, we've talked about this with Jalen and Tua too, which is another sort of dual quarterback thing that I think folks I think people remember it one way, but if you go back and look, like they. Florida in competitive games was rarely sitting Chris Leak for an entire series and letting Tim Tebow operate in 2006. When Jalen was the quarterback in 2017 and Tua was a true freshman, Jalen played the vast majority of SEC play.
It was one or the other. It was Jalen. Then it was Tua, you know, would come in at the end of ball games. Then he came in at in the Georgia game.
Because they – and that was
– Right, because they were struggling.
That was a benching.
Yes,
That was a benching.
That was not a swapping.
If Auburn decides to take the step of benching its starter, then yeah, figure out what you need to do. But I think you do everything you can tomorrow to get Peyton Thorne as comfortable as possible with this offense.
Meanwhile, that's what Alabama has done. They have benched Jalen Milroe.
Alabama saw enough, I guess, on Saturday against Texas, and in the days of practice since then. To make a change, and this gives Alabama a chance to look at another quarterback.
Right. So they'll have two guys that have started before they take on Ole Miss next week.
And who's to say if Buckner holds on to the job after tomorrow? That's right. His performance will depend on that, but Bama will have a little more film before they decide what to do against Ole Miss a week later.
All right, Spector, we had Spector. Spector, you get a chance to give us a call back. Meanwhile, let's get to the phones, and Jerry's next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Atlanta Braves for winning the NL East for the sixth time in a row.
Well, they won, what,
23? Was that
23?
The number, Justin?
Yeah, 23.
Justin had 23 division titles since the 80s?
Since 90, yeah.
I think that's right. And one other thing, I wanted to promote Matt Olson for the Roberto Clemente Award. You can go on MLB.com
right.
yeah. and vote, and he yeah. deserves it.
Yeah, no, Matt, what a season he's had, and yeah, a guy who's real involved off the field as well. That's one of several players the Braves took from the Oakland A's. And,
yeah, no kidding.
And deals that appear increasingly one-sided as the seasons go on. But yeah, Atlanta looking postseason baseball is a crapshoot. Five-game series especially.
Yep, but the expectations have to be, you know, they've been the best team in baseball. That's the only thing. The Braves, it's tough when the expectations are it's a disappointment if you don't win the World Cup.
And I think the Brewers, especially right. of any team in the National League other than the Dodgers and the Braves, the Brewers would say, watch out for us in a five game because of the three pitchers they've got.
Yep.
Woodruff, Peralta, and who's the other? Burns?
Corbin Burns.
Yeah, Corbin Burns. I mean, those three, you know, could give any team trouble in the National League. But yeah, what a season the Atlanta Braves have had. What a run they're on of late.
Yeah, we got to win it all.
I hear you. Appreciate it, Jerry.
All right.
334-321-1390. Yeah, oh, and now we do have Specter back with us. Hey, Specter.
Hey, Specter.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. So I was telling Drew, as soon as I get on hold, the call that I've been waiting for comes through. It happens all the time. But anyway, the question was, what would I like to see tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'd like for Coach pick his offensive team, the players that he wants on that field, put them out there for three straight quarters.
Wow.
And then, of course, the fourth quarter, because, it's
hopefully homecoming. It's one-sided, yeah.
Yeah, and he can play the rest of the players in the fourth quarter. But if it doesn't work out, if there's not any cohesiveness there, keep them out there for the fourth quarter. We need this done. We need it before A&M.
They need to have answers. You're right.
They need to finish the race tomorrow, as a commercial likes to mention a couple of times, if you listen to the show.
Right. I'm not convinced we got the right quarterback. I mean, neither one of the quarterbacks are doing that well. So three straight quarters, if they don't have it together in three straight quarters, go to the fourth one.
All right.
No,
appreciate it, Specter.
I think that makes sense, Specter. I think they can't, this isn't an NFL preseason game tomorrow where you give the starters
two
drives and say, all right, now rest up and get ready for A&M. I think this offense needs to show progress tomorrow, especially through the air. And
absolutely.
And that's on Peyton Thorne, and that's, I don't want to just focus it on Peyton
it's
Thorne.
On receivers.
That's on, I mean, when Coach Freeze says 5 and 6 have separated themselves from everyone else in that wide receiver room, Fair and Johnson, that's a call out to everybody else in that room that, hey, you want to see the field, you want to be targeted, you better show me a pulse.
You're so right, Dan. All right, but that's what I want to see.
Hi, Specter, have a great weekend.
I get it, Specter. Look, if it's 49-0 at the half, maybe the starters in the third quarter.
Right, they've shown you enough.
But until they do, no, I'm right there with Specter.
All right, let's get to our final break because we have more calls coming in. Brett, you'll be up first when we come back for the final segment of the Friday Drive.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers. If you're looking for a reliable and powerful off-road vehicle, check out the full lineup of Landmaster UTVs at University Ace Hardware. With a tough steel frame, four-wheel drive, and strong suspension, Landmaster UTVs can handle anything from hauling gear for a hunting trip, tackling chores around